sins is the blood that still cleanses me, is the grace that still sets me free, oh, to praise Him.
A blessing to be back in the house of the Lord again. Me and Brother Doug were talking one day, said, if the devil lets you get by one day with something, he's going to bring something back the next day. So just keep God at your heart at all times, because He won't leave us. We may sometimes feel like it, but He's still there. We're going to read this morning from St. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 22 through 37. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to come together to worship. Lord, we know that you promised us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, even when we may feel sometime that we are alone, Lord, you're still with us. God, you bring us through many hard times day by day, but Lord, we still love you, and we know that you love us. Lord, we see things happening that look like you're nowhere around. In the midnights, early in the morning, God, but we know that you are still near. We ask you this day, Lord, to bless us and give us strength, that we will keep holding on to you until the end. Father, we love you, and we know that you love us, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read from St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse. The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it.
And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after him, nor follow him.
For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the parts under heaven shineth unto the other part on the heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day.
But first shall he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built.
But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Remember Lot's wife. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. that shall be taken, one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two men shall be in the field, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they ask, "Well, Lord, he shall unto them, whosoever body is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
That's a red letter day for us. That can be applied to right now when the Son of Man is being revealed in our midst. We see the world is falling apart, but we have a refuge that we can always run to, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering? Let's turn to page 693. I say turn to page 693, and we have all the lyrics up here on the screen now. That's a blessing, I tell you. And so we just thank the Lord for the ones that has helped to get all this in place. And it really helps us to just enter into worship and get our minds off of the things of the world. You know, that's why they call this place a sanctuary. You just come in, you just open up your arms to God, your heart to Him, and just surrender all things to Him. And just focus your whole soul on, "Lord, what do you have for me this morning? What is it that, how I can grow in Christ this morning, claim my promises for my family, for anything, for my health, for anything that we have need of?" It's all about surrendering to Him so He can have the full preeminence. Amen. Amen. Let's start with a chorus this morning. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load, and the more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up, and every day
worse, and the problems I had on yesterday are a stepping stone to a higher place. The trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, I love. Trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory, and I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours alone. Every day I live,
about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turn me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor. All of the praise, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of my honor and all of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worthy of all of our glory and all the honor. Let's just sing that song, God is So Good. As our brother comes this morning, let's all stand. I tell you, we serve a good God. No matter what comes our way, all things work together for the good. Good or bad. It's like Brother Bob was saying, you just rest in that place and it'll all work out for the good of His elected. Amen. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Yes, He is. God
saved us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that heals us. He's the one that gives us eternal life. That's why God is so good. And He's so good to who? Not you, me. Make it personal. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. I know we got some away on vacation. It's spring break time. So it's time to take a little break. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Last night's Bible study was wonderful. We had a good time. And I think it's something we're going to try to do from now on is hook up to the Zoom meeting part of it. So if you can't come, you can watch it online. And it was good, wasn't it, Sister Frieda, to be able to watch. And the brothers and sisters from Ohio, we were just sitting up there last weekend, and they said, well, we hear your Bible study because we recorded on a little bitty recorder, and then Brother Joe puts it online maybe, you know, several days or even a week later sometimes. And they said, we would like to be able to where we could ask questions also. So when I got back, we got with Brother Anderson, the Bulldog. He's now an official Bulldog. So Brother Anderson and Brother Luis, Brother Richard Roberts, and Brother Joe and all the different ones, they all kind of put their heads together and came up with this Zoom meeting, and we had a camera downstairs, and the one from Ohio were able to see us, and we were able to see them. So they're just part of us. We're just an extension of, you know, we got extended family. Amen. But thank God for our brothers that, that put all that together for us. Amen. Also, Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will be ministering for us. Remember, too, that April the 15th, 16th, and 17th will be our, I guess, first annual Easter meeting. Brother Jewel Forney will be here at 7 o'clock. Brother Homer Longora at 3. And then Brother Mike Olteague at regular service on Sunday. Now, we got to get together with the food. Mom's compiling a list. And June, both of them are looking at that. Sister Lisa and different ones. Just get with them. We'll announce it next Sunday from here what to bring. We're expecting a pretty good crowd. There'll be 10 or 11 or 12 from Ohio. There'll be several from Brother Homer's church that's staying over. And Brother Joe's put it online. So there's already a brother called this morning. And the reason I'm saying this is if you have a place where somebody can stay, I know that Brother Joe Canada's house will be full. My house will be full. Brother Luis's house will be pretty much full if they all come. One of the kids is having ACL surgery, so we don't know if he's going to be able to make it or not, but we're going to pray that he is. And then you've got Brother Boyd's got a couple staying with him, and then there's a brother from Brother Tom Kershane's church. He called this morning, and he would like a place to stay if we can. So let's just all get together. If you want to write it down or tell somebody, you can tell me or Sister June. If you have a place for someone to stay, we would appreciate it. And we'll give you some money for the food and all those things because it's saving them a $100 a night motel bill. And it just saves them from eating. I kind of like Brother Manuel Salazar. When he had his meetings in June, he told me, he said, Brother Wade, he said, I don't want people to fly or drive all the way out here and then have to pay for a room and then have to pay for a meal. So they cooked every meal for the people out there. And all the preachers that came in, they took care of their room. So so I just don't want it to be a burden. I want you to be happy in the Lord. But it takes money to get here. It takes money to go home. It takes money to stay. So we want to take the burden off. That's why on Saturday after the service, we'll have a full meal on that day. So just keep that all in prayer. Brother Dale's birthday will be that day on the 16th. And just remember also, tentatively now, on that Saturday, April the 16th, not next Saturday, April the 16th, there'll be a baptismal service at 12 o'clock somewhere. All right, they want to be baptized. If we have to buy a pool or if we have to, I'm going to talk to a couple of Baptist friends of mine at Gillsville and see if they'll let us borrow their pool. But they want to be baptized. We're going to baptize them. Amen. One way or the other. You know, if it was your family, you'd want to be baptized too. And a couple from Ohio wants to be baptized. So we're going to do that at 12 o'clock to be determined. But I'll let you know next Sunday. That's the only time we can do it, and we want to get it done because we won't be able to do it Saturday night, won't be able to do it Friday, won't be able to do it Sunday because they're all going to go back home. But a couple from Ohio wants to be baptized. Amen. And anybody else that wants to be baptized, we open it for anybody, you know that, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian baptism and walking in God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And today, this afternoon, we're going to be taking communion. So we'll have communion and foot washing this afternoon. So being the first Sunday. So just keep your minds clear. And let's turn to John 1. Verse 1, and let's begin. Remember, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday. We've got several things in August that's coming up. Brother Joe's working on a calendar for April so he can put it up on the screen so that we can not forget what I just said. What'd I just say? Forget what I just said. John 1, verse 1. But just pray for each and every one. I'm like Brother Bob and different ones. You feel an urgency somewhere. You just don't know have enough. I don't have enough. Sorry, discernment, but that you feel the urge or the pull that something needs to happen, and it's not that we're going to try to make it happen, but we're just going to walk in the Word of God and let God do it. That way, it won't be just an emotion or a feeling. It'll be a heartfelt something coming from the heart, and if it comes from the heart, if you got the new birth, it's God. Amen. So if you got the new birth in your heart, that's God. And he's wanting to what? He's wanting to open you up so you can see him in your life. So that's why we're talking on who is this Son of Man. We're looking at his life. The life of Jesus Christ, the man. All right. And this afternoon, we'll bring a little bit different avenue this afternoon. But this morning, let's continue on and let's background a little bit. John 1, verse 1. Let's pray. To Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We pray that you'd be with us, Lord, during this service. You be the active participant, Lord. You do the revealing. You do the speaking. And Lord, just be with each one, Father. Just give us a renewed, as we renew our vows many times, Lord, we're already married, but we'd like to renew our vows to just reaffirm that we're married to you, Lord. Reaffirm that you're there with us, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one that's sick. We have sick here in this service. We have sick that's out in the internet and at different places. We have sick that are at home, Lord. We pray that you'd just heal them, Father. You're still in the healing business. But, Lord, we want the healing of the soul first. We want to make sure everybody's got their soul healed before we take on the other part, Lord. That we'll just completely trust in you, Lord. You're still like the healer that the prophet of God gave us. He showed us the example of what to do. Lord, that you would come and you would heal the people from all diseases, not just a few, but all diseases. And the Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So, Lord, we're believing that and confessing today that you'll heal the people, Father. Keep us, Lord, safe in your arms, Lord. We need you more than anything now. The wilds of the world is trying to creep in on every hand. They're trying to separate us and move us about. And Lord, your little bride will be beat up, but she won't be defeated. Amen. So I pray, Lord, that you just be with each one today, Lord. Give us the words to say to the people, and may they hear, Lord, from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now let's read Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. That's speaking toward the Son of Man. All right, listen. For I reckon that the sufferings, not the parties, not the flowery bed of ease, not the smooth road, not the wide road. Amen? Because that leads you to destruction. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. We were talking last night about where Brother Branham was talking I believe it was 1964, and paraphrasing, he said, what you see in part is going to be brought in its fullness when the church comes to power. Amen. Now, listen, we've got power now, but there's a power coming, and I'll read you the quote a little bit later on. There's a power coming, and we'll look at it this afternoon with the chart that we'll look at later at the end of the service that Brother Bob's been using on the Statue of Perfect Man and the three stages as you grow up. You know, as we sit here today, we have the Holy Ghost in our soul. If you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost in your soul. All right? Well, listen, Jesus was on the River Jordan. He was the Holy Ghost. He didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. That soul that was inside of him was the soul of God, and the Spirit was the Spirit of God. It wasn't a separate person. Amen? But you and I get it by measure. But he had an anointing that came on him at the River Jordan. Why did he need that anointing? It was for his ministry. It was for something. You look at Brother Branham, and he'll preach a sermon, and there'll be revelation like you wouldn't believe. And then all of a sudden, he said, well, all right, we're going to have a prayer line. Well, you would think, man, that anointing would just, no. He said, it's a different anointing. What'd he say? I'm waiting on him. Well, him was there all the time. Him was doing the preaching. But him was getting ready to step over into another part or phase of his ministry. Well, that's the same way with you and I going up the Statue of Perfect Man. You don't get the new birth two or three times. You get the new birth one time, but you get a filling of the Holy Ghost, an anointing, a revelation as you progress up the Statue of Perfect Man or as we walk through life. We were talking, this yesterday at this Bible study, and I stumble at my words, but I'm trying to think of, I don't want to be so brash about it, but I mean, how are you going to make it without somebody teaching you the statue of perfect man? Everybody wants the great seals. They want the third pull to work in their life. God is not going to use a baby to bring the dead out of the ground. It's going to be a mature. Listen, Jesus was Almighty God as a baby, right? But there was nothing said for 29 years of that man's life except right there at 13 when he popped up and was in the temple, right? They call it the silent years. There was a silent time in there. What? He was growing in grace and knowledge. That humanity part of him was being human. But he did come to a place there at the River Jordan where God said, all right, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And then he still had to walk for 3 more years in that anointing before the other anointing came down. Before the other anointing came down at the mountaintop and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. All right. We should have heard him back before, but really when you come up to this point, it's like Brother Branham preaching the 47 to 63, and all of a sudden God said, if you're going to get anything, you're going to get it from him, because this is now his message. This is now his message. And remember, John 17 and the great part of the scripture that John and the different ones portray is, you know, his movement through his journey is that the River Jordan, sure, he preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He'd had great healing signs and wonders and many things went on, right? But look at it, after Matthew 17, after the Mount Transfiguration, part of his ministry started, Brother Brown said 6 months later he was dead. But he preached the seals in Matthew 24, all right? John 17, he prayed that we be one. Now, why didn't he do that? You see what I'm saying? Even in his ministry, he progressed. Right, amen? Right. So even in Brother Brown's ministry, he progressed. So any minister, if you're not seeing a progression in their message, then, you know, they're either stumbling or they're going around the mountain the same, you know, like they were before. That's the same way with all of us. We need to be where now we understand, not by knowledge, not by head knowledge, but by that knowledge. Amen. Understand more about the Word of God. Yes, in many places, as we were talking about last night, there's many places that you can go and preach to, and you have to background so much till you never get to your sermon because they're not well taught. But there's not a preacher ever stepped in this pulpit that said, I'm going to have to talk for 2 or 3 hours to get y'all to know what I'm talking about. No, they always step in and they say, you've been well taught. Amen? You've been well taught. All right? Because they know that the background. All right? They can say what they want to about this church and about the ministry. I really don't care. But I think we're on the right track. If we're not, we better, like Brother Dale said, if this is not it, we need to find something. We need to find what is it. But Romans 8:18 gives us an earnest expectation. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But we know that we are predestinated to adoption. So see, that's our anointing. You take Martin Luther, you take John Wesley, even the Pentecostals, they were not predestinated to adoption. Because they didn't have all of the Word. They didn't have an open book. They didn't have something to go to. They had reformers. I'm trying to pick my words because they were prophets. Okay? Even though they Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they had all these little things that was off, God winked at that because he knew that the fullness would come, which was here with us. The fullness would be here. So God is patiently waiting on us to get to that spot, and I believe we're at that spot now. Amen? And like I said before, you can stay home and listen to tapes all you want to, but you will never come to full maturity without a pastor and without the fivefold ministry and coming to church. They ain't going to happen. They ain't going to happen. Because the Bible said it's not going to happen. Okay? So you can, I hate to say this, you're denying the Word. You're denying the Word when you say, I can get it on my own, as we were talking this morning about the Zoom meeting. Every time we do something like that, you know, you picture people that are sitting around drinking coffee with their bunny jammies on and their bunny shoes on, watching the... Paul, did you have yours on yesterday?
No.
Frida says he did. I realize people can't all get to church, okay? But if you make it an excuse to stay home, yeah, I have a problem with that. So does God, because he told us in the Bible, he didn't say Zoom your meetings. He said come to church. Assemble yourself together. But if you can't, that's what we were talking about. If we start doing Zoom meetings on the Bible study, the room will be empty. I don't think so. I think it was full last night. So, and there was many that weren't there. So I think we're okay. But just use that as a crutch. Don't use it as a crutch. And I know as we get older, like Sister Johnny and certain ones, man, it's a blessing. A blessing to be able to enter in. She was so happy. I think she called Mama. She called the Pope. She called the President. She called the Congress. And she called June this morning about 7:30, praising the Lord that she could enter into the service just enough to be able to see the service and enter into the service of us being there. Amen? So that's okay. And that's all right. But just don't make it a crutch. All right? Don't make it a crutch to where it says, well, I really don't. My cat's sick, so I'm not going to church. I've heard that before. But we're predestinated to adoption, Brother Louis said, yeah. We are predestinated to adoption, so we're not predestinated to just come and sit in church and listen to a good sermon and say, thank you, Lord, and go home. We're predestinated to adoption, which is going to do what? Now, it's going to carry us. It's going to carry us into the statue of a perfect man, which then God's going to do something with that person. We'll talk about that in a little while. Positionally placed. I'll read a quote where Brother Brown says, only this message you can be positionally placed. Amen. Only in this message you can be positionally placed. Amen. Thank God for a prophet. Amen. Thank God for the message of the hour that he gave you a message. Amen. And that you responded to that message. All right. So let's go to Ephesians 1 verse 1. We're just backgrounding this morning to bring what we need this afternoon. Is everybody all right? Amen. I'm going to quit doing this because they all started doing it in Ohio. They're all doing this. Do you hear me now? I just want to know if you hear me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now that's who he's talking to, us. All right? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at verse 3. We look at that being, show that it was in the mind of God. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him. Chosen us in, not by him. That's right. There's a lot of people chosen by God to do a certain thing. Everything is ordained of God. Listen, folks, God orchestrates this whole thing. You say, no, no, the devil. God orchestrates this whole thing. Yeah. Satan is a puppet in the hand of God. Because God's never going to be defeated. Amen. According as he has chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Where were we before the beginning of time? Where were we? Brother Branham, where were we? He said we were nothing. Only in the mind of God. Only in the mind of God we were something. We were the Genesis 1:26. We were the part of God that he was getting ready to unfold or unveil in this great plan of redemption. All right, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See what God's already seen? He's already seen us holy. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We've got to come to a place that we've been truly justified. You say, oh, brother, I got justified, as Brother Bob was talking, we got justified before the new birth. You got justified for the sins you used to do. But Brother Brown said the unclean spirit's still there and you're going to continue sinning on down the road. Now listen, if we continue sinning on down the road, we ain't got the new birth. Once we come to the new birth, to the justification we're going to talk about this afternoon, which is the real you didn't do it, then we got to come to a place that, listen, to take a body change, you got to realize that person inside of you is blameless. Now it is now already. But we're not realizing it. We're letting the past get a hold of us. We're letting this and this person didn't shake my hand and this person don't preach long enough and this one preaches too long. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestinated. By foreknowledge. By foreknowledge, by your free will. You say, I don't have a choice. Yeah, you got a choice every day of your life. You got a choice today. choose you this day who you'll serve. Amen. Having predestinated us, what? This is the mind of God. Seeing down through time, seeing everything that's going to happen, seeing every avenue that you would take even though you didn't make that choice. Oh my. Yeah, you get quiet. Brother Dale's preached it too about several years ago and y'all all got quiet too. I remember that. Because if he's infinite, he knows every avenue you would take if you would decided this, or decided this, or decided this. He knew what avenue you would take. That's why I've always told you that God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Because you're wanting to go down this path, and you're just hell-bent to go down this path. And God goes, I'm shutting the door. Well, that's the best yes you'll ever get, because God knows what's behind that door and what you'll do when that door opens. Amen. So that's the best thing to do, is listen to the word of God. Listen to your pastor. Listen to the ones that have wisdom, that when you tell them you're going to do something. And I like what Brother Dale's always said. He said, when you come and tell me you're going to do something, he said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You already decided what you're going to do. You're telling me what you're going to do. But if you approach it to look, I've got these two options, brother. I've got this option and this option. Which option looks good? All right. Instead of coming to Brother Dale and saying, I'm going to do this. What do you think about it? That's kind of the cart before the horse. Amen. But think about that in all that you do. I mean, we make up our mind a lot of times to do stuff. We've never done it before. We make up our mind to do something. And it doesn't matter if the door closes. We're a little bit headstrong and we just butt right on through the door. Well, that's what a goat does. But. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and his will is his word. Find yourself in the word of God. Let's look at number one real quick. Now, preaching usually catches the sinner, brings him under condemnation by the word, but teaching places a man positionally what he is. Now, it doesn't just place you, it places you positionally. All right? It places you positionally what he is, and we can never rightly be able to have faith. I keep reading this quote, and I'm going to keep reading it, because we can never, I'm talking about us, all of us, we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are. Now, he's not talking about this faith right here, because according to that, you're already born again. You got to have position. Your position goes here. This is where you find your position. But that faith right there is a faith that nobody's ever had before. Amen. It's to take a body change without death. That's what we were talking about last night. Let's go to number two real quick. Adoption, 1960. Now, what is adoption? Now, let me get this now. Continue down. Your adoption is not your birth. So we've already separated the two. That you can be born again today and not be adopted. But there is a spirit of adoption. There is an open door of adoption that you can step in if you want to. Amen. If you don't want to, God's not going to kick you through the door. No. He's a gentleman. Remember, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. But if you let him in your house, let him in your house. And you say, all right, I got pride. I'm going to get this door open and I'm going to get rid of that thing. Then you know what? God will step in and take care of that. All right. If we let him. Your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. When you were born again, when you're born of the Spirit of God, you're sons of God. But we were predestinated. Now here's what I'm trying to get to you. For the sons of the what? Of the last day. That's us. Amen. See, we were predestinated unto adoption. Now here we are. Now this is what hurts Pentecost a little bit. And I'm talking about the Pentecost in this message. We were talking about it last night. We've had 60 years of journey. Way more than they had in the children of Israel in Egypt. 60 years we've wandered in the wilderness. What have we got? People, churches breaking up, people quitting the message, people preaching error, preaching people can't preach anything but just God sent a prophet. You think about it. Why have we been here 60 years? Brother Brown said the rapture was overdue. In the 50s, 58, 59, 60, somewhere there. He said the rapture's way overdue, way past due. Well, guess what? Now it's way, 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 way past due. But I like what Brother Michael said. Brother Michael said he said it was past due, but he hadn't been born yet. So God was waiting on him to get here. That makes it personal. He's waiting on me to come to a place. Remember, Brother Brown says God's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. What? Adoption time. We read that a long time ago. But yet there ain't that ain't what I'm talking about. He said, fine. You're a child of God. But yet that ain't what I'm talking about. See, you were predestinated into adoption. Adoption is placing a son. Then we started on the three stages of adoption. Let's go through this real quick. We'll slow down this afternoon, but I want you to keep this in your mind and in your heart. Because there's three stages of adoption. The first stage is the birth. And in that birth, it's three stages. Is everybody all right with that? In that birth, there is three stages. It's always justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. I love what Brother Brown said. You know, there's certain people in the message that just believe that when you got it all when you believe, or that you didn't need nothing else. You know, you just, boom, there you are. Like we were talking last night. Most people in the Christian world believe that God's just going to come, just going to pick a random day, and he's coming. God's not random. God's not random in anything. He has a plan and a purpose for everything that he does. So there is a red letter day on his calendar, but you don't know what it is. But he knows there's somebody going to come to maturity. And somebody's going to fulfill not part of the word, but every word of God. Amen. We're going to do the things that we're supposed to do according to the Bible. But the first stage of adoption is getting you in the family. We done been over that, but let's go over it again. You got to get in the family first. Don't worry. Listen, don't worry about third pull. Don't worry about these words that we bring out of full adoption. Don't worry about adoption until you get born again. When you know that God resides in your soul, and look, you're doing the ABCs. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We done flew up to the headstone. We done got a doctorate degree in message 101. By that time, it's like 401, right? But we're still down here. I can't read. I can't do my, I can't, 1 + 1's what? And we're already wanting up here. Listen, there is a way to get up there. And there is a pull to get you up there. But you got to go through. We'll read a quote. I think I may have it this morning, if not this afternoon. Brother Branham preaches on time-tested memorials. But he also says time-tested Christians. I'm just a Christian. That's it. No, that just gets you started. On your journey. And every one of us have a journey, and it's all different. But it's one goal. Many spokes of the wheel, but only one centerpiece that turns the axle. All right? Same way with the Word of God. You can't get out of the Word of God and say, well, I'm going to get born again, and this is the way I'm going to act. No, when you get born again, you should be acting like what God tells you how to act. Amen? But that's what I'm telling you. We've got people, and I read a quote several weeks ago where Brother Brown talks about teaching, and it said it settles the people. Now, right now, there's a lot of churches that's not settled. You can decide whether this one is or not. But there's a lot of churches that's unsettled because you got that little group that says they're right on that edge. I don't know if it seems like that Brother Brown may be right. But this group over here says we just need to stay home because it's so confusing. I agree. There's a lot of confusion out here. But there is truth. But there's a lot of confusion out here, which makes people withdraw and say, well, I'll just listen to what Brother Brown said. Well, you can for a while, but you can't stay in the Bible and do that. You can't you can't go up the statue of perfect man if you sit at home. Sorry. And, you know, I'm tired of people making excuses. Look at Brother Colley. I was thinking about when he was standing up here. He's been doing this for 50 years. You've been a Christian that long. Because you've been in this church almost that long. Stands up here, reads the scripture, and I wished I could pray like he prays. See, that's my prayer warrior. I know that man is talking to God. Why? Because he's been on a journey. He's come now to the journey part to where he should be a, and he is, I say should be, he should be a seasoned veteran. And you listen to people like that that are seasoned veterans. But I appreciate God putting it. See, that's one of the gifts. That's a positional place. We want to have the speaking in tongues and the prayer lines and all that stuff. The Bible, the nine spiritual gifts is wisdom, faith, all those different things. And what Brother Brown say, we always pick the lesser gift. Because why? It gets emotional. You know, I really have never seen Brother Collie emotional. I really want to, when we get a body change, I want to see your emotion when that happens. Amen. Brother Collie's just been, he's like an engine. Steady as a rock. That's why he worked for Chevrolet. Praise the Lord. I'm not making that up. Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how can you be led by the Spirit of God and not do the things of God? And do them out of love. Don't do them out of, well, I better go to church. Brother Wade's going to preach on me if I don't. Yeah, that's probably true. But you got to be led by the Spirit of God, not led by my spirit. You got to be led by the Spirit of God for yourself. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I've seen people, and to get a good case of justification, if you get a real case of justification or a real repentant attitude, that's good. But remember, that unclean spirit's still there. And you're going to be bound. This says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again. If you're not born again, you're under bondage. I don't care if you're even justified and sanctified. You're still under bondage because there's an unclean spirit that's in you. It may be driven out, but if you can't get the Holy Ghost in there, the devil's going to come right back in there again. Amen? And you're going to receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know what you're going to be bound to? A church. A religion, a denomination. That's what you're going to be bound to. You're not going to be bound to the beer joint. Satan's smarter than that. He wants you to come to church, but he wants you to think everything's fine, we're okay, we're good. No. Listen, I thank Brother Collie and Brother Dale and Brother Darty and the different ones that's been here forever. Are y'all ever satisfied in spirituality? Are you ever satisfied? No, you're not satisfied. You always want to get that one little bit more, that one little extra revelation, that one little extra something from God. Amen? We all do that. And that's what we should do and not be just where we get the Holy Ghost and we lay down and quit fighting. No, that's just when your fight starts. But he's given us the spirit of adoption, though, where we can move over and have some authority. That's what we'll talk about this afternoon. With a positionally placed son and daughter of God, there's authority that comes with that. There's a name on the checkbook. There's being able to drive the car. There's Joshua positionally placing them in the land, and they establish their borders. They establish who they are. I'm Dan. I'm Ephraim. I'm Manasseh. I'm this. I'm that. And you stay where you're supposed to be. Because that's your position. All right? Everybody okay with that? So now look. Now watch, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
Yes.
If you're not born again, your spirit is contrary to God.
That's right.
I don't care who you are.
That's right.
Your spirit is contrary to God.
Amen.
So the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God.
Amen.
That's the new birth. That puts that all together that we are not going to be, but we are the children of God. And if children, let's move it over, then heirs, heirs of God and what? Joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ gets, we get. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Son of Man revelation, right? Well, that who was Christ? He is the Son of Man. Amen? Joint heirs with Christ. Look, if so be that we suffer with him. Amen? That we may be also glorified together. Where was the suffering? The suffering was in the Son of Man. The suffering was not in the Son of God. It was in the Son of Man. When God came down and got in human flesh, that's when his suffering began. Everybody all right with that? So that brings us heirs. That brings it down, Brother Bob. It brings us where, boom, we're together. He suffered. We're going to suffer. He was lonely. We're going to be lonely. He got cast out. We got cast out. He almost got stoned. They stoned us with their words anyway. But look, it says, "Though look that we may be glorified together."
Amen.
Glorified together.
Yep.
All right? Now let's go to 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that kind of have a little of some kind of faith.
No.
It says to them that have obtained.
Amen. Yes.
The lights came on. You've dug it out with God. You've fought the battle. God's fought the battle with you. But you have obtained like precious faith, which is, that's talking about this faith, with us through the righteousness of God, even our Savior Jesus Christ, and besides this, given all diligence. So besides this, everybody with me? Besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. It's a requirement. Listen, it's a requirement that you move. It's your free will whether you do or not. But you'll always be a weak Christian. Sorry. You'll always be a weak Christian. You may be born again. You may be a son and daughter of God. You get all the blessings of God. But you'll be a baby. And what does babies do? We have to change their diapers. We have to feed them. We have to powder them. We have to pamper them. That's why I believe Brother Dale, he's got some grown-ups, because he's not pampered and babied this church like other pastors pamper and baby churches. He's sitting there. I'm going to give him his crown now. All right? Amen? He's built a church that don't have to be, "I'm so sorry, pray for my children." He said, "Pray for them yourself. I'll help you pray, but I ain't your pope." That's what happens a lot in the message. They try to get to, me and Bob were talking about, you get forgiven of something and you still want to come through the door and crawl on nails. And we got to learn to get rid of that thing. And know it's under the blood. Know that God can't ever bring it up again. Oh, hallelujah. He'll never bring it up again. He'll never bring it up to your presence again. Never. Listen, there's no way he can, even if he wanted to. Because his Bible says he's throwing it in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But we still sit like Brother Forney. Wowsy, wowsy, woo. I'm having all these problems. Let's take care of the first problem. The first problem is, know that you're born again. Know that you've got the new birth. Not just anointing, not just I come to this church, I got a message that nobody else has got. I got something nobody else has got. Listen, that's the way I felt when I was 14 years old. I'll just be real with you. There's books and notes that I think Brother Tom kept some of them and gave them back to me. But Dad and Mom kept them for a long time, where I read books. I circled stuff. I wrote stuff down. And I thought, this message, there ain't nobody else got one like this. And I got the best message there is. Well, you know who came to the house, knocked on the door, and I let him in? The devil. So for about 20 years, I served him instead of the Word of God. All right? Because I made a choice. Amen? I made a choice. It was a bad choice, but you know what? We make bad choices. It just don't stay in those bad choices. All right? Don't stay in the bad choices. Don't go around horrible yourself. All right? You got to get out. You got to turn north. You got to say, "God, there's my promised land, and that's where I'm going to get put. My victory is over there." All right? Acts 2:38 says, "And it came to pass that when all the kings of the Amorites..." Well, I'm sorry, Joshua. Act 2:38, I was going to quote. That's our promise. So Joshua 5, verse 1, we won't read all of this to save time. But remember what happened when the children of Israel come out of Egypt. They walked in the wilderness for what? 40 years. All right, and that wilderness was called what? The wilderness of sin. Look in your Bible. It was called the wilderness of sin. Well, that's what they walked in. They walked in the wilderness of sin until what happened? All those ites got out. All those Dathans and Korahs and all those doctrines got bled out, died. And this new group rose up, but they hadn't been circumcised. And circumcision was really important, because If you weren't circumcised, you wasn't a Jew. Right? God told him under Abraham, said, this is your sign that you're mine as you do this circumcision on the males 8 days after they're born. So verse 2 says, make sharp knives and circumcise. Sharp knives, word of God. Amen. And circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So listen, we've had a Luther age, we've had a Wesley age, we've had a Pentecostal age, we've had a, and I want to say beginning of the message age. Because Brother Branham was preaching to all different denominations, trying to get them all together, trying to get them to see the message of the hour. But remember, he preached all the, I was listening the other day in California. He said, you sisters, he said, I come out here every year and I preach on hair and dress. And he said, you get worse. Well, what was it? They weren't getting his message. They were getting the feeling from the healing. Right? They were getting a feeling from the discernment. But the greatest discernment was him to look at them women and men and say, you're not living right. You hadn't lived right to begin with. That's why Pentecost failed. That's why they said, no. Oh, no, I can speak in tongues. It doesn't matter if I cut my hair. It doesn't matter if I, you know, commit adultery. It doesn't matter if I do this. It's just this over here. I speak in tongues. Brother Brown said they stopped right there. But there had to be another set circumcised. There had to be another group that come up. That not just the circumcision of the Holy Ghost down here. You know, that circumcises you here, but I see the Holy Spirit right here. I see the apex of the Holy Spirit here. So there's a circumcision, a cutting away of the skin in the journey. That's just what they're doing. They're getting ready, though. They went through the journey. They're getting ready to go into Promised Land, and actually they walk into the Promised Land. This is when they were stepped over Jordan into the Promised Land, right? And God reminded Joshua, said, look, man, these people have not been circumcised. If I'm going to positionally place them, you know what God was saying? To me, they're Gentiles. Okay. Listen to what I'm saying. Because I told you, my people, the Jewish race, is going to circumcise on the eighth day, and that makes you a Jew. That puts you under the protection of Abraham, I guess you might say. The promise I gave Abraham was that if you'll circumcise, then they'll be a part of me. Well, there were so many thousands of people, 20 and under, that he didn't consider Israelites. And they were fixing to positionally get the property they were supposed to get. What am I saying? Get it right. Even though we have to stand, and as I said before, and you make a joke out of it, but men ought to understand what I'm saying. At 8 years old, or 8 days old, you're not going to remember that circumcision. But when you're 20 years old, you're going to remember that circumcision. So that's the same thing in our journey. You're going to remember when God circumcises your heart. In this journey, God cut the foreskin off, and then let's go into the Promised Land. Let's go take what we're supposed to take. And Joshua did that, remember? He did the verse 7. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. I was thinking about this the other day. It's kind of what we were talking about this last night. Everything reminds me, to me that was a pivotal time there in the seals when Brother Branham was preaching the up to the sixth seal, and then he had questions and answers. And he told the people, you're not getting it. It's not for you. Okay, they got stuck in the Promised Land, right on the border. Because remember, a type of that, you take, half tribe of Manasseh and the other two tribes, they stayed on this side of Jordan. Now, they went across and helped them fight. But Brother Brown said that was a type of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, or justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that's what happened. They went in and fought, but they came back out. Listen, I don't want to fight and come back out. I don't know why they did that. Well, there's a story behind it. But I want to take in there. My promised land was on that side of Jordan. Mine and your promised land is on that side of Jordan. What? Jordan is what? A type of death. My property is going to be over there. But you got to die out to yourself first. You got to have, verse 7, their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. In other words, until they healed. That's the same thing with you coming to church. It don't hurt to sit at home and listen or watch, because you can just kind of filter out. You know, the cat can walk by, or right? But when you're in church and you got to look at me or you got to look at somebody and they start walking down your aisle and stepping on your toes, something got to happen. There's a reaction that's got to happen. Amen. So when we're circumcising up here on Sundays and Wednesdays, when we're doing the work of circumcision, it's going to hurt. But listen, you're going to walk different. You're not going to walk the same way you walked before. And it does hurt. But listen, look what they had. They went on in verse 11. God didn't say, "Now I'm just going to throw them away." No, they began to eat the old corn of the land, or they began to eat more nutritious food, more of what had already been planted in the land. Right? Manna ceased. The old corn of the land came. In other words, I'm going to say this. The miracles were over. The hand to mouth. Bless you. Nurse. The hand to mouth was over. You're not babies anymore. I'm not going to let your clothes not rot. I'm not going to give you water that runs with you every day. I'm not going to give you manna that you just hold your hand out and it hits your hand and you eat it. You're going to work for it. Now, we know that Brother Bob was talking about rest. There is a rest. But when you get born again, that's just rest in your soul. The fight's over inside, but the fight starts on the outside. Amen. So the same way with them in the promised land. Joshua didn't tell them, say, "Look, now, you just walk in over there and you just tell them who you are, and they're going to just all fall dead." Right? That's what we think. That's what happens when we have a good meeting, like, you know, a couple Sundays ago. I don't say we have bad meetings, but the Spirit of the Lord fell. And you could feel it. Even last Sunday when we were up there in Ohio, you could feel the Spirit of God settle into the building. And people were worshiping. Not worshiping because the neighbor worshiped, or not worship because the neighbor worshiped. They worshiped because God had come to them. God had come to them and not anybody else. All right? And whatever situation you had that you were praying about, did it get settled? Ruth got settled, didn't it? You see what I mean? That's telling you that the fight's over, but you got to fight a battle first. You don't just walk in, and we were talking about something the other day, and you know, people have a tendency, even in the message, to put preachers up on the pedestal and you know, unreachable, and he's so holy. And you know, listen, when I got called to preach, when Brother Dale got called to preach, Brother Bob, different ones got called to preach, Brother Aaron, Brother Luis, our bills kept coming. I delivered a lot of them myself. And my grass just didn't stop growing in April and never grow again until October. And Brother Bob's car never run out of gas. Huh? And I go out in the garden and I work and the mud would just fall off me. Never had to take a bath. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? We always think reason I'm saying this is because we have a position. But you also have a position. Deacons, elders, all y'all have a place, positionally placed. But don't think because you're positionally placed, you just stepped into a bubble. Right? What did Brother Brown say when you get born again? Satan turns every gun right to you. And I mean, he doesn't just go. No, he said, "I'm going pow, 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 pow." Amen? Am I hitting something? So this positionally placing in the promised land, even though, according to that scripture right there, according to the scripture, turn it back to verse 1, please. We'll get into the second stage this afternoon. Go the other way. I'm sorry. I don't know which way that. Me and Daddy don't have directional. Go Go to verse 1. Look. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, all them ites, and they were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. Our problem is, it's like Brother Gary Atkins always said, he's a bluff. He's a bow with no, he's got a bow with no arrows. When we get up in the morning, we hand him a fistful of arrows. Say, here, shoot me. Even though he's got the bow and he's a bluff, here, shoot me, devil. But that's the same way there. Then if that would have been able to be put into a message book, it already is. But if that would have been put in a message book, that would tell you whatever fight you're going to have, they didn't have no fight in them to begin with. Same way with the devil. Remember, we, in the scripture, I believe it's in Ezekiel, where we look at this man laying on the side of the road, a drunk, laying in his own vomit.
Right.
And we say, is this the man that caused me all this trouble? That, in other words, that ruled the nations, that caused the battle of Armageddon, that caused the battles that we all fight, and he's nothing but a sot drunk laying in the street. I know the devil hates that, but you know what? If you believe the Bible, he's already written in there that that's going to happen. And he's not even going to judgment. He's going to be stuck in the lake of fire before the white throne judgment, according to the Bible. Because he's already been judged. All right? So there was no fight in them. But remember, even though there was no fight in them, they still had to fight. There was nothing. Jericho, man. Even Rahab said, look, when y'all crossed that river, and we heard y'all cross that river, and God opened up the waters, that was it. We didn't know how you was going to win this thing, but we knew that God was with you. That's why that when all these times that God or the people were trying to build the temple, the natural temple, it's been destroyed like 17 times in Jerusalem. That's why they're trying to build it back again. But why does the whole world hate Israel? Just because they're Jews? No. They are the people of God. Bible tells you that. Now, whether they were divorced and put away and they're not bride anymore, that's not, the world's not thinking that. They're thinking, if this is the children of God and they get that temple built back, they're going to be more powerful than a nuclear warhead, because they're going to have God and they're going to have miracles. That's why all them people around them hate them. They don't want them to build nothing. They don't want them to get back and restore Israel back to its prominent power. Why? Because, like I said before, that when you read in the book of Ezra and different ones, they had a sword in one hand and a trial in the other hand. The people around them knew. The cities and the countries around Jerusalem knew that if they ever built that city back, they were going to become powerful. And they didn't want them to do it. Now, that's the same way with me and you. Build your wall with a trial in this hand and a sword in this hand. Amen? Amen? Know that God's told you you've got a position, and that position is that you're a child of God, and that you will have authority to build what you need to build and to destroy what you need to destroy. That's what we got to come to, folks. But their heart melted. If we really realized it, if we really come under the power of God, Satan has to tremble. He can't stand that anointing. Not that kind of anointing. Now, he can stand all anointings, all them good feelings and all them good things, but he can't stand the word of God and power. He can't stand that because he can't get either one. He can't get the word. He can't put the word together. And he can't get that anointing that you and I have on us. He would have been Jesus if he'd had that same anointing, but I thought that anointing was on me and you. So the rest of it's just going to be a big fight. And it's going to be a fight until we get out of here. Listen, we're going to squeeze out of here. We're not going to go out on the flower bed of ease. We're not going to go out on the broad highway. We're not going to go out and everybody's patting us on the back and say, boy, y'all doing good. No, they're going to hate us like they did Jesus. They're going to put us to death. They don't have to do it spiritually. I mean, naturally, they can do it spiritually. Amen? But there's a temple being built. There's a temple being built. Not with hands of man, but a body. a body of flesh with an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies. Amen? And that's where God wanted to reside, right here in that holy of holies. Sure, he had things on the outside, the menorah and the different things, but inside that holy of holies was one thing. That was the word of God. And God came to that word of God. We were talking about that in Ohio last week about Solomon. When that, listen, the Shekinah glory didn't come when the ark was over here, because it was out of its place. It was still the word of God. But when the priest picked it up, all right, they go through the outer court. Solomon's already built this great big temple. It's beautiful. Man, it's got pearls. And I think the Bible even says gold and silver that you couldn't even weigh it. It was so much. They overlaid about everything in gold. Here they come in. They're singing. They're praising God. They come into the outer court. They come into the inner court. Shekinah glory is still not there. But when that thing went in, and the Bible says they turned and they set the ark down, and then they pulled the staves, or they pulled the poles. They pulled the poles out. That means it was going to stay right there. That thing got into its positionally placed spot. And when it got into that spot, what happened? The Bible says the Shekinah glory came in that building so much so the priest had to shut up. The people had to shut up. And the power of an anointing. Listen, and this was just wood and paper. And a little bit of stone. That's all it was. But God said, that's where I put my name. God should do the same thing with me and you. We've been through justification, sanctification, now to baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the priests are pulling the staves out. And what happens is that curtain falls down like this. And when it falls down, you don't go back there anymore. But now what did they tell us in the New Testament, though? It's all open now. We have an open book. We have an open altar. We have an open Holy of Holies. Because we walk around in that Holy of Holies. Everybody all right? But that's what you have to look at. We look at that. We see that God is, you know what God did? He challenged Solomon to build that temple. Because, see, David was commissioned. David's the one that said, hey, I want to have it built. But who built it? Solomon built it. The son of man built it. The temple. The right temple. The one that was exactly the way God wanted. It wasn't just a... Now, remember, the one in the wilderness was temporary. Hello? The one in the wilderness was temporary. It had badger skin, and they had to overlay it with this, and they had to haul it, and it was always covered with something. They'd set it down in the middle and they'd camp around it, which was good. But David said, in other words, I've had enough of this carrying around. I live in a house. I live in a real big mansion. And God's out there in the elements underneath that badger skin and all that different colors. I want him to be in here. You know what he said? I want him to be comfortable where he's at. So God said, I know you have a desire. I know in 1963, the prophet told you, you had a desire to sit under that ministry. Everybody with me? But God said, you can't build that house. Too much bloodshed. Too much bloodshed. But the son is going to build the house. The son of man is going to come in human flesh and build the house. And then he's going to go back. And then he's going to come back on the day of Pentecost as the Son of God. And they're going to go outer court, inner court, holy of holies. But I'm not satisfied there. I want you to build me this big temple. Make it look like a pyramid. And my son's going to build it. And then he's going to come back in the end. And he's going to pray. Read the prayer of Solomon. It's a beautiful prayer. We read that thing Sunday and it just, everybody fell apart. A man, a human man stands and gets on his knees with his hands raised to God. He said, God, these are your people. And we've done exactly what you've told us to do. Have we done exactly what he's told us to do? If you have, then you can say, uh-huh. And then God can fill that Holy of Holies with so much power until you can't say a word. There's nothing can be said. Nothing can be added. What is the seventh seal? There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. The Shekinah glory had filled the room full. There was nothing else to be said. There was nothing else to be revealed. Everything happens a secret, though. Because remember, there were many nations around Israel at the time. But he made Solomon so powerful till there's no army could defeat him. Oh, hallelujah. There's no army could defeat him. And then he built the temple. And it was not a hammer or a saw. Nothing. They made those pieces, give them the dimensions. 1,100 of them. Come on, somebody. 11, we've been given 1,100 sermons that you don't have to saw it up. You don't have to beat it with a hammer. You just what? Put it together. Fivefold ministry will put it together, and then we will what? We will enter that temple. And B, not just look at the Shekinah glory. We will be the Shekinah glory. We will be the one that anoints that temple in the millennium that we're going to talk about at Bible study next Saturday of the month. But that's what we're going to be. We're not going to be somebody standing out here. I thought we were already inside there, but he's just going to just keep piling the Shekinah glory on top of us. Let's read this one quote, and then we'll finish right here. Let's go to number 8, and I'll read the rest of them. Oh, let's go to number 7, and then we'll close. Musicians, get ready to come. Hear ye him, 1960, number 7. Quote number 7. Just keep scrolling through. We'll get the rest of them some other time. All right? Placing of a son. Take him out in a certain place. Have a ceremony before angels and place him positionally what he is in the body of Christ. Then that person has the authority. Let me say this, if you count me a fanatic from this night on. That very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done. Here's a prophet prophesying. There'll be a power put into the church, and now it's coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people. Amen. Till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there. We haven't seen powers like that come into the church now. I know it for a fact. Say unto this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe. Don't doubt. Believe. That what you've said was come to pass, and you have what you have said. The placing of the church in position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church. Critics' mouths will be shut. We got them all over the place now. It'll be a short time. Jesus came right off the mountain. We're talking about Mount Transfiguration. Went straight to Calvary. Notice it won't be long, but it will be there. Or here. Number 8, questions and answers, 1954. Oh, brother. Give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God will do in 1 year what all theologians or theology failed to do in 2000. You wait till the anointing of the church really strikes home to that faithful, the little remnant. After the door of the Gentiles is closed, oh, God will anoint a church then. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And God will anoint the church with the power of God, and things will take place. Not only that then, but he's doing it now. All right, let's read number 9. Oh, I wish I had the ability to grind that into the people's hearts. God is looking for a time-tested Christian. Every son that cometh to God must be tried, child-trained, tested. And you who jump from pillar to post... Let me stop just a minute. And you who jump from pillar... everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I don't think I asked you that today, so some of you don't. How many believe Brother Brown was a prophet? Oh, thank you. More of you. Some of you woke up. And you who jump from pillar to post and this to that... Let that soak in. This to that. And in and out. That just got about all of us, didn't it? How God can ever adopt you into his family or positionally place you, that's a question mark. In other words, he's questioning how in the world, if you jump from pillar to post, this and that, up and down, in and out, how can God ever adopt you into his family or positionally place you? Now think of that for a moment. How can you be positionally placed when you will not stand still long enough for God to do it? God, let me stay still one time just long enough. Let me stand still one time and let me see my position. Musicians, come. We'll get on to it a little bit more this afternoon. But God, you say, Brother Wade, we're not supposed to stand still. Well, we ain't supposed to run out in front of the program of God either. Be still and know that I am God. I think that's what you're looking at on the backside of that beam right there. But how can you be positionally placed? Listen one more time. I'm going to read this again. Every son that cometh to God must be tried, child trained and tested. And you who jump from pillar to post, and this and that, and in and out, how can God ever adopt you into his family or positionally place you? Now think of that for a moment. How can you be positionally placed when you will not stand still long enough for God to dress you? Let's stand to our feet. You love the Lord? He's trying to get us to come to a place where he can use you. We've been used by the devil long enough. Hello, somebody. We've been used by the devil long enough. Let's turn ourselves over and be used by God. Let that thing, as again, one more time, let that thing out. Use that gift that God's give you. Don't ever suppress a gift that God gives you. You need to pray about it. But don't tell me you got a gift and you're in and out, up and down, pillar to post, unsettled. Somewhere you got to be settled. And listen, then if you do that, what's God obligated to? His word. He's not obligated to your thoughts or idea. I don't think I need to go to church that much. Well, that's not what God said. I thought if we obeyed the word of God, maybe some of our troubles will be over. And we're all human beings. We all do the same thing. Once we start getting in trouble, what do? We quit coming to church. Am I loud enough? We quit coming to church. We get in our little pity party, our little shell, when you should be under the anointing of the preacher and the fellowship in the church. But you know what? We've been preaching this for 50 or 60 years, and people still, as soon as trouble happens, they head off somewhere. No, stand still. Be still and see the glory of God. Be still and watch your Jordan part. Be still and watch the water come out of the rock, and that water which is Christ, and let him follow you through your life, and let him nourish you. Every time they needed some water, they just, Lord, we have to dig wells and we have to go. What about a river that followed them through the desert? If they went this way, the river was right there beside of them. And it wasn't a little trickle because it fed 2 million people and their animals. So it was a gusher of water, but every day they could just dip their little dipper in it and drink the water. That's what God will do for your life if you'll do what he says. If you'll move, get into this journey and move. Let's move on. Let's sing a song. God bless you. In the rock, my brother. Okay. Explain to our sister what this is. Lord, she already knows. So, Lord, the anointing that's with us today, right now, Lord, we pray that anointing will carry on over into the nurses, into the doctors, into the hospital, wherever our sister has to go. Lord, lead and guide them, Lord, by your hand, Father. Our sisters give herself to you, Lord. Now I pray that you would give yourself to her in this time of need. She's okay with that. She's all right with that. But Lord, I pray that you'll anoint her and give her strength to go through this little bit of journey that she's going through, Lord. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You good? You good? You good? You good? We good? We good? Amen. Confess your sins. Confess your problems. Confess that you need healing. Confess it. There's honey in the rock. What is he saying? What's he meaning? Oh, my Lord. Oh, that. Where he got that from. Yeah. But we're going to pray that thing don't come back out of him no more, right? Dear Lord Jesus, that was just a child speaking, Lord. Please don't hold that against him, Lord. He heard it from somewhere else. And Lord, I pray that you'll manifest yourself and that you'll prove to that child that you are not dead. That you are a living God and you sent us a prophet, Lord. You sent us a fivefold ministry to preach the people, Lord. And we pray that you just be with that little child, Lord, and help him, Lord. Because there's something got on him, Lord, that needs to come off of him. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that that'll leave our child, Lord. And he'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what they get when they don't go to church. Right. And they listen to what somebody else has said. So.
Do you pray
not his fault.
Unto God the Father? What will thou have me to do? Oh, never fear, he will surely answer. There's money in the rock for you.
Come on.
I just want to say something to the whole congregation. I know everybody knows what's going on with me. And people are praying.
Mm-hmm.
All of you are praying.
Amen.
But what I need you to do is, he is my high priest, and he is interceding for me on my confession.
That's it.
I just feel like that just bammed me. And so what I need for you to do for me, please, is to confess my healing.
Amen.
You know, to him every day. You know, I know that we pray and ask, but I need us to confess that I am healed. Because I'm healed. I'm not taking it.
That's right, sister. Amen.
I am not taking these rattlesnakes.
That's right. Amen. Give them back.
And I'm not signing for them.
Nope. Amen.
So,
amen. You know, we always, as human beings, we say, all right, Sister Frieda, we're going to pray for you. Daddy's told us this many times before. We're going to pray for you, we're going to pray for you, but. And then they start bringing up circumstances. Well, she's got it here, and she's got it here. Don't look good here. What don't look good? The devil don't look good. So I don't want to hear no negative confession out of nobody. I don't care if Frieda's in the hospital. I don't want to hear no negative confession from nobody that this looks bad. You know what? Every one of us look bad. Yes, ma'am.
Yesterday I heard Brother Branham say, I think it was expectation, but Brother Branham said, if you complain even about your symptoms,
see there?
You can't be a Christian.
You can't be healed. That's right. That's right. So that's the same way with us. We're going to confess it. We're going to speak it, and we're not going to say, well, wowsy, wowsy, woo. Bless her heart. No, we're all going to go through this together.
And when she needs holding up, we're going to hold her up.
Amen.
Amen. We're the church of God. We're not the church of the devil. And we've got promises that if we had asked anything in his name, he'd give it to us. He'd give it to us. Not charging us, or we gotta stand on our head, we gotta come and say 10 Hail Marys, or like the Catholic Church. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be open to you. So let's just have a positive confession. Doesn't matter. Circumstances, that's all devil. Remember, Jesus don't have circumstances. He's eternal. He's positive. He's real. And we're just going to believe what the Lord said in the Bible. Okay? Amen? Let's all bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us, this part of the service, Lord, here in this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we go and eat a natural meal, Lord, that we'll chew on the things that we heard spiritually today, Lord. And the ones that came up for prayer, Lord, we pray that you would just be with them, sanctify them. Touch them, Lord, and give them an anointing, Father, that will cover them so much that Satan cannot get to them. Father, we pray, Lord, as you be with each one that's here, the ones that are sick, the ones that are not with us, and there's many that's on vacation, Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe and give them traveling mercies there and back. Lord, we pray that you would just bless our pastor, keep him strong. Be with us, Lord, today. Continue that, Lord, may we get under this shelter, get into this Shekinah glory, and not ever want to leave it, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be back at 2 o'clock. The rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There is honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to come.